Okay, is everyone seeing the screen with my name on it, Caitlin Taylor? Okay, good. Okay, hi everyone. Thank you for joining me today. My name is Caitlin, and I am the recruitment lead for the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Awards in the Middle East and North Africa. This is my email right here. So if you have any questions following this webinar and you want to get in touch to set up some one-on-one advising, that's where you can reach me. I'll start today with a brief introduction of the Fulbright Scholar Program and the application, and then spend a big chunk of the time discussing points related to opportunities that are available in the MENA region for the 19-20 academic year. While I hope to answer many of your questions during the course of the webinar, there will be a question and answer period at the end, during which you can submit your questions by typing into the questions module on your screen. I will try to get to some of the questions as we're going through, but I'm going to save some for the end as well. I will then also talk about eligibility, application components, and hopefully a slide that will help explain why you should do your grant in the Middle East and North Africa. Okay, let's get started. Okay, as some of you may already know, the Fulbright Program was established in 1946 by Senator J. William Fulbright. He had his own exchange experience through a Rhodes Scholarship, and as a result of that, he was able to see firsthand the value of international and people-to-people exchange for fostering mutual understanding. Using the sale of surplus U.S. government World War II property to fund the program, he introduced the bill in Congress, and it was signed into law by President Truman. The Fulbright Program remains the flagship international exchange program designed to increase mutual understanding between the people of the U.S. and people of other nations, and it is sponsored by the State Department's Bureau of Educational and Cultural Affairs. The program is administered in close collaboration with U.S. embassies and Fulbright commissions abroad and the Institute of International Education, which is the cooperating agency that I work for. We administer the program on behalf of the Department of State and the Fulbright commissions. Today, the Fulbright program operates in approximately 125 countries worldwide, and its alumni include 82 Pulitzer Prize winners and 59 Nobel Prize winners. Before we discuss the MENA region in more detail, I want to review the basic eligibility requirements. These regulations are created and revised by the presidentially appointed J. William Fulbright Foreign Scholarship Board, or the FFSB. At the time of application, there are several eligibility requirements that must be met. One is U.S. citizenship, and permanent resident status is not sufficient. A PhD or professional terminal degree may be required depending on the award. For professionals and artists, recognized professional standing and substantial professional accomplishments are required in lieu of the terminal degree. We also require teaching experience. Depending on the award that you're applying to, that will be explicit in the award description if they require some teaching experience. I also want to mention that there are new policies that govern eligibility as it relates to previous Fulbright U.S. Scholar Grants. If you've held a U.S. Scholar Grant within the past 2 years, please review these policies or get in touch with me to ensure that you are eligible for this round. But essentially, there is a two-year waiting period between your previous grant and applying for the new grant. So what exactly does the application look like? It's pretty straightforward. Page limits that I mentioned today, they are hard limits. If you go over or under, you will be hearing from us to modify your application materials. Please don't make us do that. Read the directions and stay within the page limits. In addition to a standard form with your personal information, we ask for a 3 to 5 page project statement. Broadly speaking, the document should address what you propose to do, how you propose to do it, why it is important, and what benefits it will produce for your host, you, and your home institution. I also recommend in the project statement that you talk a little bit about why you chose the Fulbright Scholarship and how your project accomplishes our mission, which is to promote mutual understanding. There is more guidance about the project statement, including prompting questions and samples on our website. You'll also need to submit a tailored CV of up to 6 pages, including a publications list. 3 letters of reference are required. If you are proposing to do any teaching, one of the letters must address your teaching. We have requirements for submission of references on our website, but I just want to underscore that applicants must register their referees in the online application, and the references must be submitted via the online application. You cannot submit a reference for anyone, and we do not accept mailed-in references. If you're proposing to teach, you need to submit 2 to 3 sample course descriptions or syllabi, up to 10 pages total. The syllabi should be designed by you and expressive of your philosophy of teaching. And please indicate whether they have been used previously or if you have developed them for this particular application. If you're conducting research, we will need to see a 3-page bibliography, which is more like a lit review, but without the extensive annotations. And it should reflect the current state of research on the proposed topic and include articles written by scholars other than just yourself. Depending on the award, there may be some language proficiency required. If you are planning to teach, make sure to confirm the language of instruction with your host institution. For research projects, language fluency sufficient to complete the research project is required. For applicants without local language proficiency, feasibility of conducting your research must be demonstrated in both the project statement and the language self-evaluation form. So that means that if you don't speak Arabic or French, note that in the application components whether you plan to work with a translator or can feasibly just complete the project using English. Non-native speakers who have Arabic or French language abilities will be asked to complete a 2-part language proficiency report. Part 1 is a self-evaluation, and Part 2 asks you to register an external evaluator within the application. This part of the report is, you know, completed by a foreign language instructor through the online application reference system. If you are a native speaker, you only need to fill out the Part 1 self-evaluation and indicate that you are a native speaker. There are also supplemental materials that are required for applicants in the arts, architecture, writing, and journalism, very similar to a short version of your portfolio. So I wanted to talk about letters of invitation. This is something that we get a lot of questions about, and depending on the award, a letter of invitation may be required. So the letter of invitation is an expression of interest from your host institution. There are no specific requirements for the letters, but they often include, you know, what you're being invited to do, the period of time that you're being invited for, and a description of the host's interest in your project. It should be on official letterhead, and if it's not in English, you should include an English translation along with the original. So how do you get a letter? This is probably the number one question that we get. If you do not have contacts in your country of interest, or the contact info is not listed in the award description, which it often is, we have some recommendations. Use the resources on your home campus, such as the international office or talk to your colleagues. They often have connections abroad, and if you start talking to them about how you're interested in Fulbright and are looking for a host, they may be able to put you in touch with their contacts. You can also take a look at our scholar directory, which lists the names, project titles, countries, host institutions, etc., of previous Fulbrighters. Our alumni are very helpful people, so if you see someone who has previously gone to the country that you're proposing to go to, or you know, has worked with the host that you are interested in, you could reach out to them and ask for an introduction to their contacts. Also, Google is your best friend. Look at university websites in your host country, and you can locate contact information for different departments there. More often than not, you can find contact information with just a couple of keystrokes. We do not keep the names and contact information of people at specific host institutions, so this part will require some hard work and ingenuity on your part. So I'm going to discuss a few of the award highlights in the region in a moment, but I also encourage you to browse the catalog on your own. You can narrow down your search by region, country, discipline, or keyword, which is all done through the advanced search feature, which you can see is sort of at the bottom right under the big orange button. Discipline preferences are typically listed in the award description, but the MENA region also offers a lot of all discipline awards in almost every country, which are open to scholars in any field. When searching the catalog, we recommend thinking about the relevance of your expertise and project to the host country. So ask yourself, how will the host country benefit, and what do you hope to achieve while you're on the grant? I am asked all the time about where I think an applicant would be most competitive, and the simple answer is that the award descriptions are written by the host countries. They describe exactly what they're looking for. And scholars will be most successful in countries where their skills match the desired specializations of the host country. So why conduct your Fulbright grant in the MENA region? The Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program in the Middle East and North Africa offers unique opportunities for scholars to immerse themselves in one of the most dynamic political and social landscapes in the world. In addition to generous stipends for housing and living expenses, embassy and commission staff in country help incoming Fulbrighters secure suitable housing and introduce them to the community. You will not be expected to navigate the landscape alone when you arrive in your host country. The commission and embassy staff on the ground are there to provide ample support. In most MENA countries, Fulbright also offers generous dependent tuition reimbursement, meaning that a large portion, if not all of the costs of your child's tuition can be reimbursed. Details about this particular award benefit and stipend ranges are available under the award benefits tab in the award descriptions. Scholars also often, are able to develop new courses and academic programs, expand their host university's research capacity. Sometimes they even invite faculty that they meet while in their host country to come back and visit their home institution, the U.S., and develop relationships with students in the region, often acting as dissertation advisors or mentors. The potential to make a lasting impact in this region is enormous. So we offer two exciting new innovations in the Middle East and North Africa. I'm seeing there are a couple questions that just came in. Okay, I'm going to save some of those for the end. Okay, so like I said, we offer a couple of exciting new innovations in the region. The flex option was designed for scholars who require multiple visits to the host country over shorter segments. Each segment must be at least 1 month long, and the maximum length of the flex grant when you add up all of the different segments would be 6 months. So for example, you could conduct a grant in Kuwait that takes place over 3 months one summer and then 3 months the following summer. In the MENA region, flex is only available in Egypt, Kuwait, Morocco, the West Bank, Saudi Arabia, Tunisia, UAE, and the MENA regional award. So the Middle East and North Africa Regional Research Program is another unique opportunity to consider. Scholars can apply to conduct research in two or more countries in the region, either over the course of one continuous grant segment or as a flex grant. So for example, you could spend 2 months in Egypt, 2 months in Israel, and 2 months in the West Bank, all in one go or spread out over 1 or 2 years. Not all countries are eligible for the regional research program. Notably, Algeria and Tunisia cannot be included in proposals for this award. A PhD is not required, but applicants do need to have a letter of invitation from each host country that they are proposing to go to. Okay, now let's go into regional highlights. I want to give a peremptory warning that I will not be going into stipend amounts for each country. You can discover that on your own by visiting the awards catalog and navigating over to the award benefits tab. So in Algeria, Algeria offers two awards. One is in all disciplines and the other is a targeted award for people that are in TEFL or applied linguistics. Both awards are for teaching only. and currently there is no option to conduct research in Algeria. For both awards, applicants should expect to teach 6 to 10 hours per week for about 10 months. There is no flexibility regarding the grant length, so you will need to propose to go for 10 months if you'd like to go to Algeria. For the All Disciplines Award, applicants at all degree levels will be considered. However, priority will be given to PhD recipients. And for the TEFL Award, a PhD is required. Eligible host institutions are listed in the award descriptions. The applicants should choose one of the universities off the list. For both awards, a letter of invitation is preferred. We have contact information for the cultural affairs officers in Algeria in the award descriptions, and they are happy to work with applicants on identifying an appropriate host. With the exception of courses that are taught in English, so TEFL, American literature, American culture, most fields are taught in French and Arabic. And thus, one of the languages is required if you're applying for the All Disciplines Award. And a working knowledge of French or Arabic is necessary to function in the community and to communicate with the host institutions. We will expect a 1 or 2 page summary of your project in French or Arabic, except for proposals in English American Studies, like I mentioned earlier, which may be submitted in English. The award descriptions go into much greater detail, but I just wanted to emphasize that U.S. Embassy in Algeria is keen to host scholars that have appropriate language skills and some regional experience. So we are excited to announce that we expect to reopen the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program to Egypt in 1819. Final awards are going to be contingent upon a couple of things, clearance from the government in Egypt, availability of funds, and of course the security situation in the country. But a broad array of opportunities exist in Egypt, including in all disciplines, several grants to the American University of Cairo, and awards specifically for scholars in business administration, STEM, and the visual and performing arts. Postdoctoral fellowships are also available. Each award has slightly different requirements, preferences, grant lengths, etc. So please visit the catalog for specific details about eligibility and the activities that will take place with each opportunity. I want to just underscore that the Binational Fulbright Commission in Egypt is an incredible resource for applicants. They can help you make contact with Egyptian universities if you are looking for a letter of invitation and you don't have contacts there. And then they also provide ample support services for Fulbright scholars while they're on their grants in Egypt. So clearance from the government of Egypt is required for all U.S. scholar grants. And while Arabic is helpful, it is not required for the awards unless you would need it to do your research. Israel is a top destination for U.S. scholars to conduct teaching and research activities in a vast variety of fields. Any accredited institution of higher education may serve as a host institution, so the range of opportunities is very broad. This year's awards are divided into two categories, a senior scholar fellowship and postdoctoral fellowships. The Fulbright Commission in Israel hopes to award about 8 grants in each category. So there are 8 fellowships available for senior scholars. For this award, you would need to be an assistant professor or higher to be considered a senior scholar. Additionally, the award welcomes applications from senior professionals and accomplished artists or writers. The program is open to all fields of study, and scholars' proposed activities may include research, lecturing, or a combo of lecturing and research. The grant is 4 months in length. Shorter or longer grant proposals will not be considered. So your application needs to be for 4 months. A letter of invitation from an accredited institution is required for this award, and candidates should take into account that host institutions are obligated to make a financial contribution of $2,000 to the Fulbright Commission in Israel, which will be credited towards your grant benefits. The Fulbright Commission in Israel also plans to award 8 grants to U.S. postdocs. These unique and prestigious grants are open to researchers in all academic disciplines and support them for up to 20 months, so about 1 or 2 academic years. An expression of interest from a host institution is required, and that typically takes the form of acceptance into the institution's postdoctoral fellowship program. According to Israeli regulations, a researcher may be defined as a postdoc for a period of 5 years beginning from the date of the award of his or her doctorate. So to be eligible for this particular award, candidates must have received their PhD degrees no earlier than April 2016. Like the Senior Scholar Award, there is a financial commitment that must be met by the host institution. So hosts will be asked to provide the postdoc a grant no smaller than the standard institutional postdoctoral award, a description of which should be included in the letter of invitation that is submitted with your application. I am going to be hosting a webinar on April 25th, specifically about Israel. So if these opportunities interest you, I recommend tuning in for that one. The Fulbright Commission in Israel will be joining for that presentation, and they will go into much greater detail about the financial contributions and other details about hosts. So if these opportunities interest you, please do join us on April 25th. So there are 2 different award opportunities available in Jordan, all disciplines and TEFL. The TEFL award is a teaching post for 1 or 2 semesters. A detailed list of preferred specializations within TEFL are listed in the award description. But for both awards, a PhD is required. Preference is going to be given to candidates with at least 3 years of postdoctoral experience. And letters of invitation are preferred, but they are not required. Some of the priority disciplines in Jordan this year are migration studies, nursing, and business administration, but applications are welcome from scholars in all fields. The Fulbright Commission in Jordan operates a villa that they call the Fulbright House, and the staff there is committed to ensuring that each Fulbrighter becomes sort of a member of their Fulbright family and feels that the Fulbright House is sort of a home away from home. So they assist Fulbrighters with everything from securing apartments to identifying schools for accompanying dependents. They also host a lot of cultural events and have a book and DVD lending library. So this is all to say that the Fulbright Commission in Jordan is extraordinarily supportive. So I cannot recommend Jordan enough. New this year is our 7 to 10 month joint Morocco-Spain award. Spain and Morocco have historically shared environmental, historical, and cultural links, and the aim of this award is to heighten awareness of those links. Applicants may teach, conduct research, or pursue a combination of teaching and research activities at Spanish and Moroccan universities or cultural centers or research institutions. Projects that are comparative in nature and address issues that link Spain and Morocco are desired. No less than 40% of the grant period may be spent in either country. So this award is open to mid-career and senior scholars in all relevant disciplines, as well as artists and professionals. Morocco also offers a traditional all-disciplines award, which allows applicants to conduct full-time research, full-time teaching, or a combination of teaching and research. And in Morocco, scholars often will split that up by semester. The flex option is also available in Morocco. For grants that have a teaching element, a PhD is strongly preferred, along with at least 3 years of teaching experience. Applicants in the arts may have other qualifications. And for research grants, professionals and other non-academics will be considered. Some of the priority disciplines in Morocco this year include marine sciences, petroleum engineering, American studies, agricultural sciences, fine arts, all social sciences, religious studies, and TEFL. Historically, about 1/3 of all research grants in Morocco have been in anthropology, and the commission encourages social science research in Morocco. So we offer an all-disciplines award for 5 to 10 months to the West Bank. Teaching, research, or a combination of teaching and research activities are available, and so is FLEX. There is a list of 11 eligible host institutions in the award description. I encourage you to stick with these universities when choosing a host. We have even listed contact information for admins at each university in the award description, so you can contact those individuals to request a letter of invitation. There are strict security requirements that grantees must abide by if selected for a grant in the West Bank. These include, you know, using a list of approved checkpoints, living within the municipal boundaries of particular cities, and refraining from use of public buses. Please review the requirements in the award description. They are on the Country Overview tab. We offer a 4 to 10 month teaching or combo teaching research opportunity in Tunisia. Research only is not permitted for Tunisia. The flex option is available, and while all disciplines are welcome, the U.S. Embassy in Tunisia has emphasized that proposals that support Tunisia's democratic and economic development are preferred. A letter of invitation is also preferred, and applications for all locations in Tunisia are welcome. However, security considerations will be taken into account when reviewing proposals. Teaching is in Arabic or French, with the exception of American Studies, Business, and Law. Applicants should make sure to discuss the language of instruction with their proposed host institutions, as French or Arabic may be required. Successful applicants must demonstrate that their language skills are strong enough to excel in their proposed teaching and research. An MBA is sufficient if you are planning to teach business. However, a PhD is preferred for all other disciplines. We also offer a variety of awards in the Gulf countries. In Bahrain, we offer 3 awards. All of them are for 10 months and would begin in September. Host institutions in Bahrain will consider placements in a wide variety of fields. However, successful applicants are able to demonstrate how their field of study can contribute to promoting Bahrain's economic future. Any appropriate host institution is eligible for the All Disciplines Award, while the Business and Education Awards have specific host institutions already identified. Awards to Bahrain do require a PhD. Kuwait is a wonderful place to do a Fulbright grant. Grants are 9 months and would involve a combination of teaching and research activities. All fields are welcome, and the flex option is also available here. Contact info for the public affairs section of the U.S. Embassy is listed in the award description, and they are very happy to assist in facilitating contact with host institutions. A PhD and at least 5 years of teaching experience are strongly preferred for Kuwait. Grants to Oman may be anywhere between 5 and 10 months. 6 eligible host institutions are listed in the award description, though others will be considered on a case-by-case basis. We've also listed contact info for administrators at these institutions to help with the letter of invitation, which is strongly preferred. A PhD or a MD are preferred, but applicants with an MBA, an MFA, or other terminal degree and substantial teaching experience will be considered. For Qatar, you can spend 1 or 2 semesters teaching or conducting a combination of teaching and research. Research only is not permitted for Qatar. The Qatar University and Hamad bin Khalifa University are the eligible host institutions for this award, and we will not be considering other hosts. A PhD with at least 3 years of teaching experience are required, and if you have experience with embedding technologies in the classroom or online courses, that will be a major plus for you in Qatar. Our All Disciplines Award to Saudi Arabia is extraordinarily flexible. So grants can be anywhere between 3 and 10 months, and there are 30 different eligible host institutions listed in the award description. Hosts often provide housing in Saudi Arabia, and the flex option is available as well. A PhD is required, and a letter of invitation is strongly preferred. Saudi Arabia is a conservative country, and Fulbright scholars can often find life challenging there, more so if dependents join them. But the Public Affairs Office at the U.S. Embassy works closely with the host institutions to ensure that scholars' experiences are enjoyable and rewarding, and they stand ready to support scholars with any issues they might encounter. And finally, we have the last country I'm going to discuss today, the UAE. We have two separate awards for this country. One is for research-only projects, and the other is for projects that involve teaching. For the research award, the flex option is available. UAE University has recently established several new research centers that are particularly keen to host researchers in health sciences, biotechnology, water, and public policy and leadership. The teaching award is for 10 months, and scholars may be hosted by any academic institution. Preferred fields include, but are not limited to, environmental sciences, educational leadership, information technology, material science, water resources, public admin, international business, tourism communication, and entrepreneurship. Okay, so now I'd like to open the virtual floor to any questions. So go ahead and type them into the chat box on your screen if you haven't already. I will be reviewing those for a couple of minutes and then answering your questions. If your question is very specific to your situation, we may contact you after the webinar to follow up. And I have listed a couple of frequently asked questions on the screen. Okay, so I'm looking at your questions here. Is Algeria back on the map as a viable destination? Yes. Algeria is an eligible host institution, host country. Okay. Okay, we have an applicant that has a master's degree with extensive teaching experience. Which award would be most appropriate for me? So there are a couple that don't require a PhD, and when you go into the catalog and do an advanced search function, there is a way to search just for awards that are open to people outside of just having a PhD. Off the top of my head, Morocco is one where you do not need to have a PhD. And there are awards in Egypt as well, but there are more than just those two countries. But if you take a look at the award catalog, you'll be able to see which particular awards do not require a PhD. Okay, I'm just reading through your questions. Okay, one is, can you apply for multiple awards in the same host country? No, so you can only apply to one award each year. You cannot apply to multiple awards in the same country. Okay. I'm seeing a question here, is there an age limit for the program? No. There is no age limit for the program. You can be retired. You do not even need to be currently affiliated with an institution. So there's no age limit. All ages are welcome. Okay, also, can I apply if I am a U.S. citizen and also a citizen of the host country? That's a great question. Yes. There are no issues with dual citizenship. If you want to, you know, if you're a dual citizen, with Israel or whatever, you are still eligible to apply. If you are a citizen of that country, I would just advise that in your project statement, you're going to need to sort of talk about what new connections you'll be able to foster. The goal of the program is to promote mutual understanding, and if you already have a lot of connections in the host country, that is fine, but you do just need to underscore what you plan to get out of this grant in terms of promoting mutual understanding and fostering new connections in the host country. Okay, we have a Fulbright specialist that wants to know if there's any waiting period between the grants or how that would affect his competitiveness for the Fulbright Scholar Program. So there is no waiting period between specialist and scholar grants. If you're on the specialist roster, you can apply for a scholar grant. If you've been a U.S. scholar, you can again, you know, apply for the specialist roster. And in terms of how that would impact your competitiveness, like I said earlier, you'll just need to sort of talk about what new things you're planning to get out of this grant that you were not able to get out of your specialist, or how you're planning to build on the connection that you made during your specialist grant. So that's what I would advise. Is it possible to know if the Spain Morocco Join Award will become permanent? I'm sorry to say that I do not know. For this year, it will be around for the 1920 competition, but I can't tell you whether they will run it in the future. Okay, so I get a lot of questions about how many applications do we get for particular countries. We do not share application numbers, but you can sort of use your general, you know, common sense that, you know, countries where a lot of research is being done or are popular tourism destinations do tend to be countries where we get more applications. But those countries, I'm thinking particularly of Morocco, Jordan, Egypt, and Israel, those countries do get more awards, but they also give more awards. They host more scholars. So in terms of competitiveness, you know, I'm not really able to share those specific details. Okay. Can I receive a copy of these slides or a recording of the webinar? Yes, we will be uploading these slides and a recording of the webinar onto our website, which I can send out a link to all of you, you know, following the webinar to show you where you can find it. Okay. A number of these programs require a PhD. However, a Master of Fine Arts is also considered a terminal degree. Are there programs that are open to professionals holding a Master of Fine Arts and not a PhD? So any award where it says PhD or other terminal degree required, an MFA is considered a terminal degree. So any of the awards that I mentioned where I said a PhD or terminal degree required, you will be eligible for if you have an MFA. Okay, a question. When additional qualifications are listed, such as scholars with a PhD and 5 or more years of postdoctoral university or college teaching experience are preferred, does teaching while in the PhD program count? The particular wording of this, I'm not sure which award you're pulling it from, but if it's asking for postdoc teaching experience, then teaching during your PhD program would not count. But do check with me. I'm happy to run it by the Fulbright Commission to see whether you know, they'd be willing to consider some of your PhD teaching experience. Particularly if it says that it's preferred, you know, that's not to say that you wouldn't be eligible. So if you, you know, have 3 years of teaching experience and some within your PhD, I think that you should still consider applying. Even if you don't meet that 5-year requirement, if you do have other teaching experience, it will be something that will be considered. Okay, can we reuse application materials from a previous application? Yes, you can request the application materials from previous applications, or you might even have them. A couple of things that will need to be updated. You will need to request new letters of reference. You will need to request a new letter of invitation from your host. And then I would hope that you would update, you know, your project statement and your CV, you know, just to reflect. I'm not sure when the last time you applied was, but yes, you can reuse them. A lot of people do, but you just do want to make sure that you get new letters of invitation and new letters of reference. Okay, I have a question. Can you repeat the preferred research areas for the UAE? Yes, so the preferred, this is all in the award description too, so if you're not able to write it down right now, don't, you know, you can find it there. But the preferred fields are environmental sciences, educational leadership, information technology, material science, water resources, healthcare administration, public administration, international business, tourism communication, and entrepreneurship. Is a JD treated the same as a PhD? Yes, a JD is considered a terminal degree. So any award that says PhD or terminal degree required, a JD is included in that. Okay, can a successful application be deferred for 1 year? No, we do not allow people to defer. If you, you know, are selected for a grant and then you're not able to go on your grant, you would just need to reapply the next year. Is Turkey not a part of this region? So the definitions of where countries fall within, you know, the regions, that's something that's determined by the State Department. And Turkey is actually considered part of our Europe-Eurasia region. There was a webinar about Europe-Eurasia, I want to say it was last week or maybe the week before, but there is a recording of that webinar on our webinar archives within our website. So no, I will not be talking about Turkey today. Okay. We have an applicant with an EdD and leadership in public ed system teaching, leadership experience. Any options? Off the top of my head, I would say the TEFL Linguistics Award in Jordan, that there is an education element to that award. So you could take a look there and see if any of the specializations listed fit for you. But we do have in Bahrain, we have the Educational Administration, I forget the name, it's an education award, but that is one where you would be a particularly good fit. So I'd encourage you to look at Bahrain as well. Okay. Okay, so I have a question. Are you able to advise applicants as to which countries they are most likely to be suitable if more than one country appears to be? I do offer one-on-one advising, phone advising sessions. So if you've narrowed it down to a couple of opportunities and you want to talk to me, you know, sort of talk out your project and where I think it would be a better fit, I can give you my feedback. I won't tell you where to apply. That you know, decision is ultimately up to you, but I am happy to have those one-on-one conversations if you want to discuss. And if anyone is interested, just email me and I will send you a link where you can sign up on my calendar to have a one-on-one advising session. Okay, so I have a, if one applies for regular and then flex, does the two-year rule apply? So I'm going to assume that you are a former Fulbrighter, that had a flex grant. The two-year rule does apply, and that would start from the time that your the last segment of your flex grant ended. So let's say your third segment of your flex grant, and it was in June 2016, you would then not be eligible to apply again until June 2018. So if your grant ended sometime in the summer of 2016, then you would be eligible to apply for this cycle. Okay, can I list other awards in the same country under the alternate country choice? You can. Yes, you can. You can go ahead and do that. If you want to be considered for another award in the country, let us know. That will be good for us to know. About alternate countries, I just want to advise that it is rare to, you know, if you list an alternate country to be moved to a different country if you're not selected for the primary host that you're interested in. It is rare, but we do take those into consideration, and we may reach out to move you to that other country, but that is something that does not happen very often. Okay, I completed my PhD in 2007. Can I still apply? Yes, you can apply, but you cannot apply for the Israel postdoc. You would need to have completed your degree no earlier than 2016. Is teaching at a community college good or bad or neutral when applying? I would actually say that it's a good thing. We are underrepresented in community colleges. So if you are a community college teacher, that is a great thing and something that we are definitely looking for as we're trying to achieve diversity goals within our program. Do you publish the names of those who received awards in the past few years? Yes. The scholar directory that I was talking about earlier is a place where you can go and find the names of people that have received awards, and it'll also have their fields, the names of their projects, who hosted them, all that. It's a really great resource to get a sense of what kinds of projects have been hosted in different countries, but also, as I said, it's a really great resource if you're trying to find that letter of invitation. If you want to reach out to the people in the directory, highly recommended. Okay, can I apply to two different awards in different countries, one country in Europe and one country in MENA? No, you cannot apply to, say, the All Disciplines Award in Morocco and the All Disciplines Award in Spain. If you're interested in a multi-country in different region award, you could also consider our Global Scholar Award. I actually did a webinar about the Global Scholar Award on Monday, and that should be posted shortly if you want to go and learn more about global, but the short answer about global is that it allows you to go to 2 to 3 countries in at least 2 different world regions. So if you want to do one country in Europe and one country in MENA, I would recommend taking a look at the Global Scholar Award. Okay. Does Israel offer flex awards? No. Okay, I have an optometry degree and an MD. Are there medical teaching opportunities? Yes, there are. Any of the All Disciplines Award would be a place that you could look, and there also are some awards that list medical sciences as a priority field. If you do an advanced search, you should be able to find out where those are. One thing that I will caution is that if you are a doctor or a nurse or optometrist or whatever, you can only go to teach. You cannot go to practice medicine. So anything that you that would require a medical license, you would not be able to do. But we do have a lot of people that go over to teach courses, to teach, you know, nursing leadership courses, things like that. But you would only be able to teach, not practice medicine. How can you get a government clearance? So that is something that you would work on with the Fulbright Commission or U.S. Embassy in the host country. And the process for that varies from country to country. But in general, it usually means that you would submit some kind of summary of your research project that would be submitted to whatever their equivalent is of the Ministry of Higher Education, and then they would get that clearance for you. But that's something that the embassies and commissions will work with you on. Is there a limit on how many times we can apply for a Fulbright Scholar? One each year, one every 2 years, and so on. If you apply for an award and you are not selected, you can apply again next year and the next year and the next year. You can apply as many times as you want. It's actually fairly common that you know, scholars will apply one time and not be selected and then work on their application and strengthen it and are selected the next year. It happens more often than you think. So if you would like to reapply if you're not selected, you are certainly encouraged to do so. Do letters of reference typically come from other PhDs, or could they come from country, nationals, government officials, etc.? They can come from country, nationals, or government officials. One thing is that the individual that writes your letter of invitation from your host institution cannot also write a letter of reference. I mean, we have some tips about who should write a letter of reference on our website, but ultimately it should come from, you know, people that know you well, that know your project well, that can really speak to your character and, you know, your flexibility, your adaptability. Oftentimes, the kind of combination we see will be one from your current home institution, and if you're teaching, that typically comes from your department chair to talk about your teaching skills, maybe your teaching evaluations. Another that would come from outside of your home institution, from another scholar in your field. And then the third can kind of come from wherever, but we do usually want to see at least one of the letters come from your home institution. You are absolutely welcome to get letters from country, nationals, government officials, as long as, you know, they are people that know you and your work extensively. How are we doing on time? Okay, we've got a couple more minutes. I'm going to answer more of these questions. Is an MD treated the same as a PhD? Yes. Okay, I can only take time off from work for 4 or 6 weeks. Is a senior scholar program more appropriate for me? So if you are only able to take off for shorter periods of time, one that I would recommend is the flex option. I think when you're talking about the senior scholar program, you're referring to Israel, but they do not offer flex, and the four-month requirement for that award is very strict. So if you're only able to take off for shorter periods of time, I would not you would not be eligible to apply for the Israel Senior Scholar Award. However, we do also have the Fulbright Specialist Program, which does allow for shorter shorter grants that are more like consulting projects. That program is actually administered by a different organization called World Learning. So if you are looking for shorter opportunities, I would recommend doing some research into the Fulbright Specialist Program. But I would say also do consider the flex opportunities that would be available, because the minimum grant length for that is a month. So if you wanted to go for 4 or 6 weeks and sort of multiple trips, you could do that. Will you be hosting a webinar on European countries in the future? I will not personally be hosting that webinar. There was a webinar about opportunities in Europe last week or maybe 2 weeks ago, and it is in our webinar archive. For writers in Israel, do we need an invitation from a university? Most do partner with universities. If you have another host in mind, reach out to me and I'm happy to talk with the Fulbright Commission in Israel about whether they are an eligible host. Okay, questions about how to set up a one-on-one advising session. The email that is listed on the screen, MiddleEastNorthAfrica@IIE.org. Just reach out to me there and I'll send you a link that you so that you can sign up for one. Are the one-on-one advising sessions open to non-U.S. citizens as well or not? Unfortunately, they are not open to non-U.S. citizens, as I do not administer the Fulbright Visiting Scholar Program. But if you are interested, you're a non-U.S. citizen that is interested in coming to the U.S., I am happy to put you in touch with the embassy staff in your home country, where you can speak with them about opportunities for visiting scholars. Is Tunisia a participating country? Yes. I can sort of scroll up to Tunisia. Here it is. So yes, Tunisia is an opportunity, and I'll just leave these up on the screen for a couple minutes so that you can take a look at them. Someone that joined late wants to know if there will be an archive of this webinar so they can rewatch. Yes, it will be uploaded to our website in a couple of days, and the link will be sent out to all of you. Are there preferred reasons to apply for a Flex Award? If you're applying for a Flex Award, then you know you should be able to sort of explain why. A lot of times that will look like a longitudinal study, or it might just be the reason is that you're not able to take sabbatical. But just do sort of explain why in your application, but there's no really preferred reason. I will say that there is a preference for the Flex Award if you're able to go during the academic year of your host institution. We do accept applications if you just want to go during the summer, but a lot of times the host institutions will be on vacation, so there's not as much of a potential for that lasting impact between, you and your host institution. But if you are applying to go for a Flex Award during the summer, you just want to make sure to mention what your plans are to engage with your host and to engage with the community while you're there on a shorter grant. Can we see successful application examples? There are examples of project statements on our website, but we don't offer, full applications, just the project statements. Okay. It looks like we are running out of time here. I'll try to answer one more question. For the Fulbright Specialist Program, do I apply through Fulbright IIE or World Learning? That you would apply through World Learning. I'm seeing a couple of questions about TEFL grants. I would just encourage you to go and take a look at the award descriptions, because what a TEFL award means for different is different for different countries, and they will have specific specializations they're looking for, specific teaching requirements. But if you would like to discuss the TEFL grants in more detail, please reach out. I will go back to the question slide so that you can see my email address. Let's see, I think you can see my email address on the screen now. Just reach out to me at that email address and I would be happy to set up a one-on-one. Okay, so I'm sorry I wasn't able to get to all of your questions. If you would like to have them answered, just please reach out to me, specifically if it's something that's really specific to your particular case. So also please feel free to visit our website for more information. I'll be archiving this webinar in the next couple of days if you're interested in listening again or sharing with some of your colleagues. On behalf of IIE, I would like to say thank you for taking time to attend this webinar, and I look forward to assisting you with your application.